Facebook Advertising 101 on this episode of the Local Business Podcast. All right, I'm super pumped for this episode of the podcast. Welcome back. I am Bruce, host of the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. You can follow me at TheBruceIrving on Instagram. And if you want some help with your marketing, check out our mastermind group. We have 2 monthly calls, a private Facebook group. It's really designed to help you network with other business owners or marketers and figure out what's working to market local businesses on a weekly basis. Weekly. That's what we all need. We all need to network with other business owners and get advice, get a little motivation, test our ideas, get some feedback on that on an up-to-date, real-time level. So if you're interested in that, email me, bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com, and we can have a chat, see if it's a good fit for you. Today's episode is with Amanda Robinson, who I met on the Social Media Examiner live show a couple years ago. I was actually at a hotel room in Las Vegas at an expo. And I was on the call with Amanda Robinson talking about local business marketing, of course. And I was like, this girl knows her stuff. So I said, you know what, Amanda, why don't you come on the podcast, talk a little bit about Facebook ads, because I know you're an expert at that and you love doing that. And let's have a chat and see if there's some things that we can share with our audience about how to help them get better at Facebook advertising. So we go all in on this one. I'm actually going to have Amanda come back on in a couple weeks and talk a little bit more in depth and maybe do a little chat marketing in Instagram ads, because we didn't get into that too much on this episode. But I really think you're going to need to probably listen to this a couple times and definitely take some notes, because Amanda shares a ton of valuable information to really help you improve on your Facebook advertising and dial in what exactly is working today. So let's get into it with Amanda Robinson. All right, guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm very excited. We're going to talk Facebook ads. We're going to geek out over some Facebook ads today. I have the digital gal, Amanda Robinson, on with me, and we're going to talk all about how you can run better Facebook ads for your local business. First of all, Amanda, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm really excited.
I am excited too. Obviously, Facebook is a popular platform for local businesses. Everybody runs the ads, I believe, but I believe 90% of them run them really badly. So I'm excited to talk to you and help them out. And maybe they can either contact you after or listen to this podcast and just get a better idea how to more effectively run ads on Facebook, because I still think Facebook's the best platform for advertising. So thank you so much for joining me. Before we get started, let's give a little bit of background about, you know, how did you get started with all this digital stuff?
So how did I get started with digital? Well, I've been doing Facebook ads since Facebook ads were a thing. So way back in the day, I was helping with small community groups and volunteering, and they always had events and things they wanted to promote. So I would do some graphic design, do a little poster, put it out on Facebook, and get some attention from the local community. And then when Facebook layered on the opportunity for paid advertising, I gave that a go. And that was back in the heyday where you could put $20 on a post and have it reach everybody for very low cost. And that was very exciting and it was very addicting. So I started doing it for more and more businesses. And then over time, I've just stayed extremely current with all of the changes that happen on Facebook's ads platform and have a deep understanding of how to understand the analytics and the algorithm. So with all those things combined, it's become a bit of a superpower. And then on top of that, I am a small town girl. I come from a small town in Ontario, and I've always had a passion for helping small and local businesses. And I feel like they're the unsung heroes in the business world. And so the way that you handle Facebook advertising for small business is very different than how you would handle it for big business. And I think there's a lot of missed opportunity for people who are not present on the platform at this point in time. But I also understand that the platform has grown and it has become a bit of a beast to untangle and understand and know where to start or know how to make it work for you. And yes, Facebook ads can be hard. So that's where I help business owners untangle the web of Facebook advertising and help you make it work for you with the budget that you have to work with.
That's great. And I think Facebook does 2 things really well. They make it really easy for you to run advertising if you're a local business, if you don't know how to do it. But they also kind of make it a little confusing if you really want to dive deeper into running ads for your local business. Almost like they want you to hit that boost button because it's the easiest thing to do, even though that may not be the best thing for you to do. What do you think of that?
I love this question. The boost button, boost versus creating with Ads Manager. So the boost button is what I consider the training wheels of Facebook ads. It's also the part that gets you hooked. So it's the easiest place to start. You just click a little button, you answer a couple little questions. It's very streamlined and you say how much budget you want to spend. And all of a sudden your ad starts delivering and you start getting some results. It's the best way to get kind of your feet wet when it comes to Facebook advertising. But if you've been boosting posts for a long time and not exploring Facebook's Ads Manager for doing ads for both Facebook and Instagram, then what you're doing is you're wasting dollars over the long run. So if it's what you, if boosting a post is where you're comfortable at and that's your comfort zone just to get you started, that's okay. Most experts are going to say that's not okay. But hey, if that's what it takes to get your comfort zone up, go for it. It's fine. But just understand that it's not the most efficient use of your marketing budget. So once you get to the point where you're boosting more than $300 to $500 in a month span of time, that means you are definitely eligible to upgrade and make sure that you're producing ads using Facebook's Ads Manager. Now, the difference there is when you're boosting a post, you've got the blinders on. Facebook only asks you a fairly small number of streamlined questions. So imagine if you had 10 options to choose from. You can go through one by one and figure out all those options that you want, and then the post is boosted. Great. But if you get into Facebook's Ads Manager, all of a sudden you're served with, say, 50 different options and questions and objectives and audience targeting and ad creative and dynamic ads and headlines and calls to action and copy. It can get a little overwhelming and confusing. But if you can take the time to get your feet wet and start learning the ropes on how it works, you can make your ad budget stretch so much further for you. So imagine being able to take that ad and superpower it up with all of these different options. It's going to make it a lot easier for you and a lot better for you in the long run. And you're not going to be wasting and bleeding out those marketing dollars on the sidelines if you can focus it even more.
So if someone's boosting their post right now, they shouldn't feel bad or feel like they're doing something wrong. It's just like, okay, the next level would be to maybe set some time aside and educate yourself on how to use the Ads Manager if they want to get more efficient with their dollars.
Exactly. So if you're boosting posts, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. You're showing up to the party. That's step one. But if you've been a wallflower and just kind of hanging out on the sidelines with just boosting posts, just know that everybody else is in the party, dancing around, having a great time and doing so much more. And you're sitting on the outside looking in. So if you have a business where you have any competitors whatsoever, your competitors can dance circles around you if you're not getting off that boost button and starting to learn how to use Facebook Ads Manager.
What's the best? So when you do, all right, I'm a local business owner. I've been boosting my posts for a long time. They've been working okay, but I want to take it to another level. Where should I start if I decide that the boost button isn't enough anymore? I really want to dive into the Ads Manager. Like where should I start? Or like, what's the next level up from Training Wheels?
I would say just do it. Just do it. Get in there and follow all the steps. So Facebook does have some very good guided creation to get you started. So you can get in there and just step by step, work your way through. Do not get overwhelmed. And you don't have to make a decision on every single item in there. So you don't have to change a lot of the settings. You can leave almost all of the settings on their default. There's very few choices you have to make. So for example, you do have to choose an objective. You do have to choose who you want to target. And you do have to give some ad creative, an image or a video, and some headline text and a link if you want to. So those are the areas that you need to be prepared to make some choices. But outside of that, you can pretty much leave everything on the default when you're first starting, just to make sure you're getting comfortable in the Ads Manager platform. And once you get comfortable at that level, then you can start asking questions and doing some more research on, ooh, what does this mean? What does dynamic creative mean? What does multiple headlines mean? So you can start to kind of layer it on from there, but there is guided creation and it will help you.
So if I open it up and I want to go create a new ad for the objective, what do you think the most effective objective is? Does it really depend on like what my goal is?
I feel like I've fed you these questions, which I didn't, but you're asking the perfect questions in the perfect order right now. So do you go with the boost button or Ads Manager? Love that question. This is the next step question that I love this because you have lots of objectives to choose from. For example, you have, reach and brand awareness. That's kind of on the low end of the scale. Then you have other objectives such as traffic, engagement, video views. Those are kind of in the middle. And then the higher end, you have conversions. And so the way that they're broken out, not all objectives are the same. Some of them cost you more money. And that's by design. So when it comes to reach and brand awareness, imagine those objectives being the equivalent of putting a billboard up on the side of a highway and having lots and lots and lots of sets of eyeballs see that advertising, but that ad is maybe not relevant for everybody. And they're only seeing it once. They drive by it. It's gone. It's out of sight, out of mind. And they're not asked to engage with it in any way. They're not being asked to like, click, comment, or share. It's just showing up and it's gone out of their newsfeed. So those are very cheap and cheerful. They don't cost a lot, and it's easy to reach a high volume of people and push a message out there. Great. But what I would highly recommend is focusing more on the categories such as traffic, engagement, video views. Those are going to serve you a lot better, because those objectives mean that rather than us showing an ad to somebody in the newsfeed, we're actually asking Facebook to go one step further and say, don't just show this to everybody. Show this ad to the people who are most likely to click on it, or who are most likely to engage with that content, or most likely to watch 15 seconds or more of this video. So by getting people to take an action, by taking a proactive action, even if it's something as simple as watching 15 seconds of a video, all of those activities and behaviors are retargetable. So now we're collecting and growing an audience of people who have engaged with our page or participated with our content. And so that audience of people, we can now retarget with ads at a later date. So the ad dollars that you're spending, they're not just being blown into the wind and breezed off and have no effect and no impact. The ad dollars you're spending are reaching people who are therefore taking actions. And then you can retarget them with ads at a later date, which ends up lowering your ad costs over time. And now you can't do all of that strategically if you just boosting a post, using the boost button.
I love it. So now the next question for me, as you're explaining, that makes total sense. If I create an audience and say that audience has 100,000 people, and if I choose the different objectives between awareness and consideration, how does Facebook know in that 100,000 people which ones would be more effective for awareness? Are they just going to show it to everybody? And then consideration, they'll show it to like a honed in of that 100,000? How does it determine that?
Facebook has such a wealth of information and knowledge about us. They know our behaviors and habits. So they know the type of people who are more interested in clicking on articles versus people who don't click on anything at all. So it really is behavior-based. On how people interact and engage with the platform and their interests, how Facebook has kind of defined them. So when you look at 100,000 people and you say you were spending $50, we'll really take this down to a small business level here. Say you're spending $50 on an ad, your $50 is not going to reach all 100,000 people. So you might be targeting a geographical area, might have dropped a pin or targeted by zip code or postal code in a certain radius. So you have 100,000 people within that radius that you want to target. And not all of them are going to be reached with your $50 spend. So what you're doing is you're telling Facebook, hey, Facebook, can you please go and find people in this 100,000 who are the most likely to align with this type of ad that I'm putting out there, or to align with this interest or behavior related to it? So you want to leverage Facebook's advertising tools and audience targeting to be able to reach the best people within that audience. So there's a lot of automation that happens behind the scenes that Facebook takes care of that you don't get to see. So by giving Facebook more information and by honing in on all these various options that you have, you're arming Facebook with more knowledge and information on who the right people are that you need to reach. And that kind of dovetails into most business owners when they start Facebook advertising, they just want conversions.
Right.
They just want purchases. So they run straight over to straight over to the conversion area as an objective, try and run ads for that. And your ads are stuck in this learning limited phase. And that always brings up questions. Well, what's happening there is that for that objective, Facebook needs a minimum of 50 conversions in a 7-day period of time to properly have enough data to go out and find the right people that you're looking for within your chosen audience. So if you're not able to achieve those 50 conversions, Facebook is kind of sitting there twiddling their thumbs going, okay, so who do you want us to reach specifically in this audience? And then your ads aren't delivering as best they can. They're not as well optimized and they may not work as well for you. So in that scenario, I would say, try not to go for the gold, back it down just a notch, maybe just go for traffic, trying to get link clicks to your website. And then I can go down a whole rabbit hole of link clicks versus landing page views and so on.
But yeah, I love that. I think you did a great job of explaining that in a way that people can easily understand. And before people, like Facebook knows a lot about people, but Facebook only knows what we tell Facebook, like what we do, what we look at, what we watch, what we click on, right? Like it doesn't know. I mean, they may be listening to us. I don't know.
I'm like, you mean they don't watch us while we sleep?
I mean, maybe they do.
I'm kidding.
What was I watching the other day? Or I was talking to my wife about something the other day, and then I got an ad on TikTok for something that I was talking about, and I never look on TikTok or like scroll on TikTok, and it just, I'm like, that's creepy. I know that that's creepy. I know that they've been talking a lot about that on social media, but that's kind of sketchy.
There are so many people who swear that Facebook is listening to them, that their microphones are listening, and ads are being served based on words they've spoken. And it might seem that way. And this has just been an on-running, long-running argument. But the reality is, from data points, there's so much data that Facebook has on us from the from our phones. Say you and I were in the same room together. Maybe we didn't even talk to each other. Maybe we were in the same room together and our phones are pinging from the same location. But someone else was next to you talking to you. And then later they came over and networked with me and were talking to me and maybe talking about the same thing. And so an ad might show up on my newsfeed because that one person that talked to both of us, maybe they made a purchase of that item earlier in the day. And now the ads are being served to people in closer proximity who have networked and engaged with that person. So there's just so many deep layers to this that it comes across in our human minds as though someone is listening to our conversations. But it's the data is that well fine-tuned that it does get a little bit big brother and creepy.
I mean, you explaining it like that, I'm not smart enough to understand that. I just assume that they're listening to me. Because that was like, you know what, you explained it really well and like in a rational way. And I feel like it's just a lot easier for people to be like, yeah, they're just listening to me versus like going through that and being like, oh, I didn't even think about the other people in the room around me.
I think the majority of people don't have a very good grasp or handle on exactly how much data Facebook and Google have on us. It is absolutely shocking. And I think because I've been in the advertising game for so long, it feels natural to me. I don't mind it. I don't mind that they have all of my preferences and knowledge and what I've clicked on and engaged with. It doesn't bother me at all. I do have an understanding and respect, though, that it does bother a lot of people. So it might feel uncomfortable. But when it comes to advertising, I really do look at this as the wild, wild west of digital advertising. We have so many options available to us for how fine-tuned we can target things that it is a little bit scary. And the way I predict this going in the future is I think that all of these tools and opportunities are going to be slowly scaled back from us. And we've already seen that happen with what are called special ad categories.
Yeah.
So for example, if you are in real estate, then you fall under a special ad category of housing. There's housing, social and political issues, credit and loans, and jobs. Those are the different special ad categories. If you run a business that involves any of that, you have to identify and check off a box that says, yes, I am one of these special ad categories. And it strips out, I'd say, 95% of your targeting abilities within Facebook advertising. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for all of us, for society, because imagine if you're a realtor and you're only targeting your ads to the good side of town, the more expensive side of town, and you only want inquiries coming in from the more expensive side of town. So you're only serving your ads over there. Well, you are giving a head start to everyone on that side of town to be able to see the property that's coming up for sale and give them the opportunity to get a jump on it. Whereas the people that are maybe in a different side of town that's less desirable, they're being omitted altogether from being able to see this. So it just creates it creates discrimination.
Yeah.
So in order to prevent that, these special ad categories have been implemented. So a lot of those targeting options have been stripped away. And business owners who have been doing this for a long time really have gotten frustrated and thrown their hands up and said, well, how are we even supposed to use Facebook ads if we can't even target people? And there are solutions.
Let's get into that because I'm curious. I think there's a lot of real estate people who listen to this podcast. And I think that's a good topic to start with. Like, so I'm a real estate agent. If I want to get my ads out there and get awareness for my brand and what I do, but also help my client or my customers sell their houses, like, how do I go about creating audiences now with all those options eliminated?
Oh, I'm so excited you're asking this. And if you are a realtor listening to this, you are about to get a complete blueprint on the spot right now.
Amazing.
Get your pen and pencil out, write this down, record this. Here we go. So video content is going to be the key to your success for sure. Video content, by creating a strategy where you're reaching people with video, you're going to use the video views objective when you're doing your ads. You want to reach as many people as you can in a large, large area, because you can't, the tightest you can drill down is a 15-mile radius around any geographical point. So you need to target a very broad, wide audience, serve video content, and go out with your best foot forward. Go out with your best video content. What I mean by that, go spend some dollars with a professional videography company to either get you on camera, get the property on camera, but have it done professionally, because you're going to put a big amount of ad dollars behind this. So you're going to saturate that area with video content and compelling, exciting, interesting video content. And when it comes to showcasing a home, for example, I don't want you showing how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms. Every single house has those features. What else can you show us that is different and unique? Focus on that. So with your video content first, when you've reached all those people and they've watched 3 seconds or more of that video, they automatically fall onto an audience of people you can retarget. And when it comes to retargeting, the special ad category is irrelevant.
Really?
You still have to check it off, but you're asking Facebook to go and serve this ad to anyone who has watched 3 seconds or more of my videos. Well, it doesn't matter what age or gender or race or religion or geographical location they live in. If they watch that video, they fall into that criteria, they match that criteria. So I can still have the special ad category checked off, but I'm targeting everyone who watched that video. So if you start doing that on a regular basis and repeating that, then over time, and I'm talking months, like 3 months plus, over time, the quality of your audiences is going to increase and the size of your audiences are going to increase. So if you start circulating a video and only 500 people have watched it, keep doing more video content at the top of your funnel, reaching as many people as you can, and keep producing high quality content. Once you have an audience of 2,000, 3,000 people, let's start retargeting those people with additional content. And that can be anything to lure them to click to your website. Lure is a terrible word. I don't know why I said that. Anything of high quality and high value that naturally leads them to click to your website.
Right.
So that they pick up your Facebook pixel. So you need to have your Facebook tracking pixel installed on your website. If you don't, stop what you're doing, go and do that right now.
That's pretty easy to do too. You can either just copy and paste that and send it to your web guy, or it's pretty easy to do if you have WordPress or something like that.
Exactly. And Facebook now has a guided step-by-step walkthrough for all sorts of different integrations for that. So when you've been serving your video content, now you're serving them additional content to either get them to click to your website or to engage, to get their email address, whatever it takes. You can start to really focus in on the people who you've reached with your top level content. But if you're not using this strategy with video, it's going to be a lot harder and cost you a lot more money in the long run. So, and it takes time. You're not just going to be able to switch your ads on and get tons of responses and success right away, especially if you have to fall under one of those special ad categories. So just realign your expectations and know that Facebook ads are a long-term game. And for example, I've been working with a real estate team for, I think it's been 6 years now with this team.
Wow.
And we've been able to grow audiences of people who have engaged with the page, people who have engaged with their Instagram account, and people who have watched their videos. And I consider that a warm audience. We've been able to grow that well over 100,000 consistently for their small region. And the quality of the people that fall into that criteria is so high quality that I know dollar for dollar exactly if I put $100 into this ad or $200 into this ad, how many clicks I should get to the website, how many listing questions people should be asking, filling out forms. It definitely comes down to a more predictable level science when you've been doing it for a long time. But when you're first starting out, you can't compare yourself to that. You have to manage your own expectations and know that, all right, my job month 1, 2, and 3 is just to increase the number of people I've reached, increase my engagement, and increase my video views. That's your job. And then once you've achieved that and you're growing those consistently and you know the secret sauce and what kind of ads are making that work, then you can start leveling up your expectations, saying, okay, now I need people to go to my website.
Right.
Now I need traffic.
Now, if you do video ads and you said, all right, we got 500 views on one, let's do another one after that, does it keep showing to the same people? Or if my audience is 100,000 people, does it rotate through that audience and show it to new people every time?
It's going to keep showing it to the people who are most likely to take the action you're asking for. So if you had people that watched your first video, Facebook has already, you've already proven to Facebook, these people watch video. So Facebook will show your next one to these people as well. And your next one, and your next one. It's not an even distribution by any means. So that's why you need to keep putting out more creative content and more opportunities to reach more people within that audience. You can also, I mean, if you had to, I don't recommend this in a really small market, but if you had to, you could technically put out video content. And then anyone who's watched 3 seconds or more of that video, you put them on a video view audience. And then for your future content, you could say, show this other video to people, but exclude anyone who has watched 3 seconds or more video. So you can manipulate the system with your targeting and your advertising to really, really target and fine tune who you want. Now, a heads up, something that just happened recently, I did have a situation where I had an audience that was under 100,000 and we had a good, healthy budget to work with. And Facebook just stopped spending the budget. They just stopped spending it. So then upon further investigation, it turns out that because the audience size was too small, it hit this kind of automated audience tripwire where Facebook just stopped spending the budget altogether. So I had to follow up through Facebook business support, address that. They recommended adjusting my audience sizes to over 100,000. And in this case, these were political ads and they if I increase the area, it falls outside of the riding for that candidate. So it doesn't make sense to target people who can't vote for that person.
Right.
But I did anyway, and it just to increase that audience size, and it ended up delivering and smoothing everything out. So when it comes to audience sizes and trying to get really, really creative with how you're narrowing down your audiences, just keep in mind that audience size, in this case, size does matter.
I was just going to ask you about size, like audience size. That was literally my next question. Like, because a lot of the people who listen to this podcast have like work in one town or maybe two or three towns tops. And maybe it's not 100,000 people. What should they do in that scenario?
So in that scenario, what I really highly recommend is break up your advertising into smaller bite-sized pieces. So run smaller, shorter runs of ad dollars and change up your ad creative way more frequently. So, for example, I'm in Victoria, British Columbia right now, and there's a whale watching company that keeps targeting local residents with an offer. There's only so many local residents to go around.
Right.
It's a small area. So we keep, for months and months on end, I was targeted with the exact same blue whale ad, blue whale breaching out of the water. But months and months and months and months on end, I must have had over 30 impressions of this one particular ad. And because I'm in advertising, it was driving me nuts. But what they could have done in that case is just serve me an orca every now and then. Just change it up. Give me a video.
Yeah.
Give me something. Give me a carousel ad. Give me an instant experience ad. Give me something else and just change it up. So when you're hammering the same audience over and over and over, you can exhaust that audience very quickly. The worst thing that can possibly happen is for somebody to click on hide ads or hide all ads. That's like a black mark on you as an advertiser. And if you get lots of those, your ad costs are going to skyrocket. Facebook does not want to keep serving low quality content to people. And it's going to be a more expensive thing for you in the end. So just pay close attention that if you're running ad dollars to a very small audience, you can look in your ads manager, look in your reporting. The one thing I do want you to pay attention to is frequency. So that's how many people you reached and the number of impressions, the number of times they were served an ad. So you can have one person who has served an ad 5 times, but that 5 times might be they were served it once in their Facebook newsfeed. They saw the ad on Instagram. They saw it in the audience network. They saw it in an instant article, et cetera. So they can be shown one ad several different places. But if your frequency of how frequently that person is being hit with the same ad starts to climb and climb above 4 or 5, that's getting excessive for a small community. So that's a big, heavy indicator that you need to either scale back your budget on that particular campaign or spread that budget out among several campaigns or diversify the number of ad creatives and the type of ad creatives that you're serving to people to reach that goal.
I love that. And you're right. If I see the same ad, exactly the same thing over and over and over again, you kind of get annoyed, or not only maybe not annoyed, but like it just becomes white noise. Like you just scroll right by it. I've seen that before. But I've had, you know, obviously they're professional marketers serve ads to me that are from the same person, but they're different video, different photo, different copy. And like by the fourth or fifth or sixth time, I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool. Maybe that's a little bit neat. Like maybe I will click on that. It takes a little bit of time, but the different exactly. picture or video does pique my curiosity much more than the same thing over and over and over again.
And so there's a little psychology in behind that as well. And when we were talking earlier about objectives and what objective to choose and the strategy behind that, I was giving you some suggestions on, you know, how to start with the cheap and cheerful and then work your way up. Another area that people jump to is lead ads. They want people to fill out a form. They want their number, their phone number, their email address, and they want them to fill that right out on Facebook and collect all the leads they can. It's a great, great play. But when I'm sitting here saying, you know, don't let your frequency climb too high. In those cases, to get somebody to actually fill out a form and hand over their personal data to you, sometimes it does take a higher volume of impressions to make that happen. And those ads are much more expensive. And that's okay, because the value of what you're getting in return is excellent. So I say, if you're trying to get an email address, put a hypothetical dollar value of a dollar per email on top of that. So then you can start to scale out your budget and understand, okay, if I'm willing to spend $500, I might only get 500 email addresses, and I may have had to serve, 2,000 ad impressions to that group of people to be able to make that happen, or several thousand. So you, depending on what your objective is, your impressions and the frequency is going to change and shift. It's kind of like radio ads. Sometimes you need to hear it over and over and over on the drive before it finally clicks and sinks in. Plus, in marketing, you just have to be able to reach the right people at the right time and the right place and have the right solution. So it does take repetition in some cases, especially in a small town area or in a small market where, you know, you really have to reach the same people over and over. So changing up your messaging, changing up your tactics, keeping things fresh, and spreading out your marketing dollars into multiple areas is going to help you. And then managing those expectations that Facebook isn't the be all and end all. Right. It's not 100% of your marketing. It should be a piece and a component, but manage the expectations on what you want Facebook to achieve. Perhaps you only want Facebook to serve that brand awareness. So you're reaching a lot of people, you're getting them to engage. Great. Then let the rest of your marketing take over. So your email marketing or your print advertising or your community involvement, other areas. So Facebook doesn't have to be zero to sale in every business case scenario.
Right. What's more important, the ad or the audience?
The audience, 100%. Okay. So I break Facebook advertising into four areas. One is creating ads using Ads Manager. Two is audiences and targeting. Three is budget and strategy. And four is reporting and optimizing. So all four of those pieces are very important. But notice how it's not just all about how good is your ad creative and how good is your messaging. You can serve the perfect ad in the entire world that's been perfectly handcrafted, written by a copywriter. You have the perfect image. But if you target it to the wrong people, nobody is going to take action. Whereas on the flip side, you could have a mediocre ad that, is good at lots of room for improvement. But if you serve it to the perfect audience, it is going to be a successful ad, hands down.
I love that. So how long should your ad run for? Like how long do you need it to run in order to know if it's successful or not?
I want you to get to the point of having at least 500 impressions on any given ad before you start making strategic decisions behind it. So if you're trickling out a dollar a day spend on a campaign and it takes you 2 weeks to reach that, then it's 2 weeks long of running those ad dollars. But if you can do that in 24 hours, great. Then you have some kind of idea. Facebook also has a system. They have the ad relevance diagnostics, gives you a ranking of average, above average, or below average on how well your ads are performing. Gives it to you in three categories. So your ad quality, your engagement, and your conversion. So those, it's basically just like a report card. If you go into Ads Manager and you've been running ads and you drill down all the way to the ad level, it's in the basic standard reporting there. But it won't give you any scores until you've reached at least a minimum of 500 impressions. Wow. And even that, it's a little bit finicky on when it does give you those scores. But when you do get those scores, pay attention to them and make improvements and adjustments where you can. So for example, if you had a below average in your ad quality, but you had average in your engagement and conversion, then that's telling you that, hey, maybe the actual, you're serving it to the right audience and people are taking action, but the ad itself, in comparison to other advertisers who are also targeting that exact same audience, your ad is kind of not ranking as well as it could be compared to everybody else's ad. So that's an opportunity for you to go back to the drawing board, maybe change up your ad creative, change up your headline, change up your text. So paying attention to those little areas and just making incremental improvements, you know, week over week, month over month, as you grow, is going to get you to the point where you can dial Facebook ads into a zone where they are working for you. But it doesn't happen overnight. And I usually tell people it takes about 3 months before you finally find your stride.
And how 3 months and how much money should you be spending to really gauge if it's successful or not?
3 months. I mean, I would say a minimum $500 a month.
Yeah.
So if you're just sporadically boosting a post here and there, and maybe you spent $300 this month, but it was because you boosted, you know, a post for $50 here, another one for $25 there, and you've been trickling your advertising along, then I would say it's going to take you a lot longer. It's going to take you 6 months or more before you have enough data to go back, look at it, analyze it, and go, oh, this is working, or oh, that didn't work. So if you really want to get serious about using Facebook ads as a part, as a staple part of your marketing, make a budget, make a strategy that aligns and matches with that budget, and do it consistently, and then measure your improvement month over month to really understand if it's going to work for you or not.
Wow. Amazing. I think I had like 17 more questions. We'll have to do another podcast because I don't want to blow people's minds too much. I think that you gave them a ton of information of how to get started with Ads Manager, how to create audiences, how to get started. We'll have to have you back on again to kind of go into messenger marketing, ads, and the next level deep. Oh,
I would love that.
But if people want to reach out to you, Amanda, where can they go find you? I know you have thedigitalgal.com. Where else? What's your preferred platform? Is it Instagram or Facebook?
Facebook is definitely the best place to find me. Facebook, you can direct message me from the Digital Gal Facebook page. Find me on online at thedigitalgal.com. And if you really want to take your advertising to the next level, if you really want to get started with Facebook ads, I do teach a Facebook advertising bootcamp, a 4-week bootcamp, part of my Swift Kick in the Ads membership. Yeah. And that teaches you week one, how to do your ads, week two, audiences and targeting, week three, budget and strategy, and week four, reporting and optimizing. So if you really want to get a swift kick in the ads, that's a great place to start.
And we'll link all that up in the show notes for this episode as well. So if you missed any of that, don't worry, head over to thebruceirving.com where we take the show notes for this episode, and we'll link Amanda's bootcamp, her website, and all her social media platforms for you guys to reach out to her and get some ad help. Get a swift kick in the ads. I love that. That's awesome. You. Amanda, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you very much for sharing all your information. It was awesome talking to you.
Bruce, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode with Amanda. Thank you, Amanda, for joining us on the podcast. Go check her out. We linked up all of her social media, everything she mentioned on the podcast, and her website over at thebruceirving.com. That's our home base over there. And like I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, if you want to get into our mastermind group, shoot me an email, bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com. We'll have a conversation, see if it's a good fit for you, and see if we can get you added in. Other than that, thank you guys so much. Oh, before I go, please leave me a review on iTunes. It very much helps the podcast. If you've been listening to the podcast and you've gotten any value out of it, all I ask, we don't have any advertisers on this podcast, all I ask is that you leave a review wherever you listen to it, preferably on iTunes if you can. That would tremendously help us grow the podcast. So if you enjoy the show and you want us to keep doing it, please leave me a 5-star review and let me know what you think of the podcast on iTunes. All right. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week right here on the podcast.